This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in to the Lombardi Line on a Thursday alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. We are coming to you from coast to coast as always. Michael out there at his office in Jersey. I am holding it down at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, where Michael, by the way, it is very busy because F1 had its opening ceremonies yesterday. This weekend's going to be a big car racing day. So traffic, you know, hysteric here in Vegas. But we also found out that we officially are getting a baseball team.
How are you getting downtown? Oh, we officially got a baseball team in Vegas?
Yeah, I saw that news earlier today that the apparently MLB approved the Oakland A's to move out here to Sin City.
Wow. And then how are you getting to work? Isn't the freeway just, they're using the freeway, aren't they?
So the freeway is it's annoying, but it's fine. They just closed down like a couple of the big exits that you need to get down to Las Vegas Boulevard, which is like, if you need to go down to the strip, extremely bothersome. Our guy, Adam Burke here at VSiN, my husband and I got dinner with him and his wife recently, and we were at the Cosmo, and it usually takes me 20 minutes, took me almost an hour to get there. So I have not been happy. I hope it is worth it for the city. I know Mikhail, our guy who is like all in on F1, is very excited. I hope it's worthwhile. That's all I'm going to say. But Michael, after what was a couple of clunkers on Thursday night, we have an awesome game coming up tonight. So NFL fans rejoice. Al Michaels rejoice. I hope that he is root suited and booted with the tie on tonight to celebrate the occasion. But a fun one tonight with Ravens Bengals.
I put the word in to McAfee today to see if we could encourage, maybe get to Herbie to get to the Al that we need to not. Like, how can we, you know, we're not going to have him next Thursday for Thanksgiving. We need a not. If this will be the last time we see Al for 2 weeks, we got to have it. We got to have the knot.
Michael, we're good people. We deserve this. So Al Michaels, please, please listen to what we have to say here. We are good people. Okay, the Ravens tonight with that are laying 3.5 points. We've seen the total tick up from 43 to now 46.5. Both teams obviously coming off tough losses, an important game in the division. Here's a crazy stat, Michael. The Ravens are 19-3 at home in regular season night games since 2008. Meanwhile, the Bengals have struggled in these road primetime games. They have lost 13 straight. And I know only a handful of those are with Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, but very, very interesting to me that one of these teams has really shined under the lights and the other has not.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny about the Ravens is that they are one of these teams unique where they've not given up the lead. They have the least amount of time playing from behind. They're 28 minutes and I think 46 seconds that they've been behind in games. And that ranks with the 84 Dolphins, which went to a Super Bowl, the 98 Broncos, the 1990 Giants, and the 2007 Patriots. All those teams started 10-0. And the Ravens are 7-3. They've not been able to hold on to games late in the fourth quarter. And this past weekend was another example. They're the better team. I'm surprised the line moved down, but I'm not really, because when you go through it, we talked about it this week. We had it as one of our bet pro tips. What do we call those things? Pro tips. There you go. Thank you. You know that in the AFC North, that it's always going to come down to a close game, that if you just bet the dog, you're over 60%. And I think that's the case here. But this, to me, on paper, the way the Bengals have been playing defense lately, the way the Ravens are good in all three phases, they should win the game.
You made a really good point there about the way that the Ravens haven't been able to hold on to leads. And those numbers about Lamar Jackson in the fourth quarter or overtime turnovers, I think, are concerning if you are a Ravens backer in this game, because those close games, if it comes down to a field goal situation, we obviously saw what happened last week. And maybe I'm still just jaded from that game, Michael, when I had so much invested in Baltimore that I'm like, they're not trustworthy. But yeah, I think it is a worthwhile note. Absolutely. And Joe Burrow has been very, very good in an under underdog role as well. But let's make sure we get to some of the injury updates here, Michael. For the Bengals, we know there is no T. Higgins today or defensive end Sam Hubbard. Trey Hendrickson is good to go. Their lead pass rusher could be a little bit limited, though, based on his workload this week at practice. And for the Ravens, they're going to be without starting offensive tackle Ronnie Staley. And on the back end defensively, corner Marlon Humphrey is doubtful. Not ideal with the Bengals' pass-heavy approach from that standpoint.
No, and we know that they're going to throw it. I mean, 2 years ago in both games, Joe Burrow, when they were humming, and this is the year they went to the Super Bowl, they scored 41 in each game. So they know they can throw the football. Now, can they protect playing at home in Baltimore? I mean, Baltimore's got three losses. Two of them have come at home, right? Mm. I mean, so it's like, are we, you know, like they are beatable. They are beatable at home. And, you know, the Colts went in there in kind of an ugly game and won that game. And then, of course, they lost last week to Cleveland. I mean, they've lost two AFC games at home. They can't afford to lose another one, especially considering that the Chiefs, you know, they're trying to, if you're going to be the number one seed, those divisional games, the AFC division, you got to win those.
Well, I think that's why this game is so important, because for Baltimore, you want to hang on to this division lead really, really badly. The loss that you had last week after being up 14 points in the fourth quarter, you didn't expect to end up having that game against Cleveland as an L. And for Cincinnati, because of their slow start, they're behind the eight ball, particularly in the division, and have a really, really tough schedule ahead. So this game is kind of the, Elliot and I were talking about it before the show started, kind of that crux of the season schedule, where in the past we've seen Cincinnati be able to go take off the back end of the year. While for the Ravens, it's been more difficult. And I'm trying to find the exact stat here, Michael, but this is, here it is, the fourth time in 5 years that Baltimore has had an AFC North lead in the division at this point in the season. Yet in that time, they've only gone on to actually win the division once in 2019. So that's significant.
It is significant. And I think a lot of it is the fact that, you know, one of the things that the Ravens have been hit with injury and this losing close games in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's, they've got to find a way, you know, they've got to be able to handle that. Then when you look at this Bengal offense, they've been good the last 3 weeks, right? They've scored 30, 24 and 31 points. The problem has been their defense. Their defense has given up a lot of yards and a success rate. They've turned the ball over. That's been the their saving grace. Their defense has turned the ball over. But the Ravens, when they can't run the ball like they did last week, they couldn't run the football. They struggled. When they can't run the ball, that's a problem. But this week, the Bengals, 31st in the National Football League in yards per attempt allowed, right? And let's put this Bengal defense in perspective. They're 29th in passing yards allowed per attempt. So they haven't been very good either. They gave up 544 last week. They gave up 460 to San Francisco, even though they won. You know, they have not been able. Tennessee put 400 on them. Tennessee Titans gained 400 yards on them.
Well, Michael, what I was going to say about the Bengals defense is that while the Ravens did struggle to run the football last week, I think that they are probably licking their chops this week when it comes to being able to run the ball after what they saw Devin Singletary do last week to the Bengals run defense. I mean, they made Devin Singletary look like he was Arian Foster back in the day for the Houston Texans. Like he had 150 yards, 30 carries, got into the end zone.
30 carries, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here's what you have to know about when you're watching these games, and I keep saying this all the time. When you play good defense, you can get control of the game. When you don't play defense, you can never get control of the game. Cincinnati, even when the score was tied, because their defense could not play well, they never got control, right? They couldn't get control of the game. And it's the same thing tonight. Can their defense play well enough to get control? Well, you and I were both on the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons could last week against Arizona. We could never get control of the game. They never got control of the game because their defense wasn't good enough.
Okay, so Michael, I know you feel like this is going to come down to being a field goal game. And based on the way things have played out in the past, the underdog has been the more successful story here. Do you think Ravens win Bengals cover, or do you think that the Bengals can win this game?
No, I think the Ravens win the game and cover. I really do. Oh. I know it's against all logic. I just think, to me, Lamar will rock. I think what we're doing is counting on the prior Bengal defense. I mean, when you watch that game and you watch the all 22 of CJ Stroud, and he was great. No mistake. Guys are wide open. Mm-hmm. I mean, two man routes, guys wide open. They can't cover in the back end. They're not good enough in the back end. And defensively, without Hendrickson and being able to rush the passer, now they create turnovers, but if Lamar protects the ball, I think they win by 10.
And he should get a little bit of confidence back, specifically because of the experience and success he's had against the Bengals in the past, too, right? You look at his numbers specifically against the Bengals, 7-1 as a starter in those games, 14 total touchdowns, just 4 picks. And he's been able to run the football really effectively against this defense from the quarterback position, averaging 79.5 rush yards per game, has 50 plus on the ground in each of the last 4 in this matchup. So coming off of a game where he struggled late, made the mistake that, again, it's a tipped pass. It's not all on him, but because of what we know about the compounding turnovers that he's had late in games, you just add that to the resume. Like, this is an important game for him, and I think an opportunity to bounce back.
No question. And look, it's a big one thing about losing. When you have a short week, it's the best thing ever, because you get that losing taste out of your mouth and you can come back. Plus, let's face it here now, the Ravens defensively, we were talking about how great they were defensively. And the Browns ran the football as 198 yards against them, the best the team ever did. And so they've got to play much better. And I think, too, they will, because this offensive line for the Bengals, when they get, they'll allow pressure. They're not a lockdown offensive line.
Yeah, and I don't think that Joe Mixon is going to do, at least based on what we've seen this year with the Bengals run game, I don't think he's going to do what Jerome Ford did last week on the ground against this Ravens run defense. That's just not the way I see it. They're averaging 74.8 yards per game on the ground, this Cincinnati team, this season. Okay, we are going to take our first time out of the day. We're going to continue to preview this game a number of times over the next 2 hours, though. Don't you worry. We're going to take a deep dive into the prop market as well. But when we come back, other big news items around the National Football League in news or noise coming up.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand at any given time. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can do so for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome in great friend of the show, professional handicapper and VSiN host, Mike Somich, joins us now. Make sure you check him out every weekend on The Handle from 4 to 7 Pacific, 7 to 10 Eastern. And Mr. Samabomb 18, we were just talking about Brandon Staley and the Los Angeles Chargers, who are laying 3 in Green Bay against the Packers. And you are interested in that number. And I'm very curious your opinion on why, because while I totally agree that the Chargers are and should be the better team, will they be? I don't know. So sell me on it.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? This Chargers team has underperformed for the last 3 years, and I don't exactly have a ton of confidence that the Chargers are going to go up there and roll Green Bay in Green Bay, but 3 is way too short according to what I have these numbers at. I have the Chargers a 4.5-point favorite here on the road. If it was in L.A., I'd have it around 6, and so for me, this line at 3 is just too short, and it's not as much a play on the Chargers here as it is a play against the Packers. We saw them come off the bye last week. I thought the offense actually was a little more interesting. They pushed the ball downfield with Jordan Love a little bit more. But this Packers team just can't get healthy. They've got 3 key injuries, including Jair Alexander, out on the defensive side of the ball. The Chargers should be able to move the football through the air and on the ground on them. And then it's a situation of, do I really trust Jordan Love to be able to play from a game script where he's coming from behind, where he has to throw the football? And it's a hard no, especially when you still have Jones dealing with a hamstring injury. Watson now has a shoulder injury on top of the hammy that he's been dealing with this season. I just don't trust this Packers team. This is, to me, a fade of the Packers more than it is a play on the Chargers.
But, you know, the one thing I'll push back on you on, the Packers typically have played, they're 1-5 in 7-point games or less. They seem to, now they've averaged over the last 6 weeks, they've averaged, their defense has given up 20 points a game and their offense has scored 60. I mean, they're typically in close games. I mean, you know, to me, that's where I was a little bit, I'm with you. I think Chargers are the right play based on the Packers. Herbert should throw the ball over the lot, but I have trouble with the I have trouble that the Packers always find a way to keep it close in the second half.
They do, but when you look through that schedule in those games where they will hold their opponents down, I mean, they played the Steelers last week. Steelers put up 23. They played that lowly Rams team the week prior to that, only put up, gave up 3 points in that spot, but that was more ripping than the defense in my mind. And then the previous week to the Vikings, they gave up 24. They gave up 17 to the Browns, or I'm sorry, the Broncos, and they gave up 17 to the Raiders, who couldn't move the football on anybody. So this, to me, is a big-time step up in the offense that they're going to be facing. I think that's going to be the difference of why they give up more points on Sunday.
Well, speaking of the Raiders, because there are other games on the board that we can bet as well, because since we've got conflicting ideologies here, let's get to one that I think that we all agree on. And it's that the Raiders, I believe, and I think you do too, are going to come back down to earth a little bit against a Miami team this week that has shown that they do have success when they're playing lesser than opponents. So take me through your thoughts on Miami-Vegas.
Yeah, Miami likes to beat up on opponents that they can just hang a big number on. And they're coming off their bye this week. I thought they played pretty good against Kansas City over in Germany. This defense is starting to get right. This is going to be the healthiest version of the Miami Dolphins defense we're going to see all season. Vic Fangio against a rookie quarterback. Love that matchup from a defensive coordinator versus quarterback situation. And look, Antonio Pierce, great job the last couple games, right? Rah-rah coach, got the Jets hyped up. We saw them really play a vanilla game against got the Raiders hyped up. We saw them play a really vanilla game against the Jets last week after winning his first game as a coach. Both of those were in Las Vegas. Now he's got to travel across the country, go down to Miami with a rookie quarterback, play a dynamic offense with a solid defense as well. We've seen Miami win these games by margins, and favorites are 10 plus points so far in the NFL this year are 9-2 against the spread. So we've seen these type of spots win by margin. We saw Miami take care of business in a similar spot against Carolina. I'm not nervous to lay the 13 here with Miami. I think they're going to actually absolutely pick their score here and run it up on Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it got to 14, I would still take it. I mean, I'm not sure. I think Miami's a sleeper team the way they played defensively. I think they've lost to Kansas City, but Kansas City didn't score in the second half of the last game. I really like Miami, the way they've changed their defense with Vic kind of coming in. I don't see how the Raiders score 10, and I think it's hard to hold Miami to under 30, so I do like it. How about tonight? You know, my instincts tell me to take the Ravens because they're the better team on paper, but I know that in the North that these games always come down to the dog usually covers.
Yeah, finally, we get a good Thursday night football game. You guys wait 10 minutes to ask me about it. It's unbelievable. Look, this is a super high leverage game for both of these teams. Both losing at home last week really makes this a must win, especially for Cincinnati in this spot. The Ravens obviously would love this game, but they don't need it like blood. The Bengals definitely do here. And I'm willing to forgive the Bengals game last week a little bit more than I am the Ravens game. The Ravens up 14 really should have taken care of business against Cleveland. The Bengals were in not just a sandwich spot, but like a super duper double club sandwich spot there. They come off the bye, they take on San Francisco, then they play a very emotional primetime game against Buffalo. I kind of expected them to be sleepy against Houston, especially with the Bengals on Thursday or with the Ravens on Thursday night in a big time division game. I think you're going to see a better version of the Bengals tonight. And look, I made this line 3. I'm not betting a ton of money on the line here, but I'll still take a little bit on the 3.5 with the Bengals just because I want that hook. I do think this turns out to be a 3-point game, and the back door is definitely open here. If the Ravens are up 10, the Bengals should be able to move the football down the field. On top of that, I'm worried about Humphreys. He's a key part of that defense. We saw they struggled without him. He's doubtful for tonight's game. If he's out, to me, that is a big time loss. The one prop I like in this game quite a bit is Joe Burrow over 13.5 rushing yards. You can get it at +110 right now at DraftKings. And this is a tale of two seasons for Joe Burrow. If you look at before the bye, he never ran the ball more than 4 times, never got over the 13.5 number. In the 3 games since the bye, he's run the ball at least 5 times in all 3 games. He's gone over this total in 2 of the 3 games. He's actually had one single run longer than 13.5 yards in 2 of the 3 games. On top of that, this is going to be a close, high leverage game. Those are the games where Burrow seems to scramble the most. So I think this line is a little short here at 13.5. My projections made it 18.5 without bringing in situational spot. And to me, this is a plus situational spot for Burrow to use his legs on third down.
Yeah, much more willing runner since the calf has been healed up. And in a game like this, where it's going to come down to getting a first down or not, I think he's going to put it all out there for sure. Here with VSiN host and professional handicapper Mike Somich, and maybe bad hosting by me, okay, waiting to get to this game. But the Ravens did me so dirty last week because I was so invested in teasers. I loved laying the 6.5. They were a contest play. I'm a scorned woman and I'm sensitive about it. Okay. But I'm going to move on. I'm still not sure if I can get on a side in this game, but there is a prop. I'm just curious your opinion on. I really like Keaton Mitchell in this game, the running back for the Baltimore Ravens rookie. The last couple games when he has the ball in his hands, he has popped. Do we think that he can get over 38.5 yards today?
My main concern is exactly what you said there. When he has the ball in his hands, there's still four people who rush the football here for the Ravens. And so it's all a question about usage in my mind with Keaton Mitchell. And they didn't really use him last week. I went and picked this guy up on the waiver wire. I actually started him in one league. It was nice for him to get the touchdown, but the usage is going to be the key here. He doesn't get any red zone carries. So that's a problem for him. A lot of those go to Hill and Edwards. You know, Lamar is going to be running quite a bit on third down and then second and short situation. So it's really how many totes he actually gets. I have him projected for about 32.5. I feel like this line has been bet up just because everyone's talking about Keaton Mitchell and how, you know, even the Ravens after the last game said we need to get him involved. We need him to get the ball more. It's going to be interesting to see how they do that. I'm worried it may be through short passes versus rushes. So if you're looking at the Mitchell overs, I would actually be more interested in his rushing receiving versus just his rushing, because he is much more of a dynamic threat in the passing game than anybody else who's coming out of that backfield.
And there's a couple games you're waiting on. You like the Vikings waiting to think you think that'll get to three? It's kind of been at 2.5 all week. You think it'll get to three?
I sure hope so. Yeah, the Sunday and Monday night games to me are both games I'm interested at three. I took a little bit of Philadelphia plus +3 when that showed up yesterday. If I can get three minus -110 on the Eagles, I'll take that again. I have Kansas City a half point better on a neutral, so 2.5 at home is the dead on line for me. But if I get the three, I'm taking it. And I may end up betting Vikings money line if I don't get a three against Denver. This is a Denver team that I actually upgraded, but I was down on them compared to the rest of the market, even though I bet on them on Monday night. To me, the Bills were a bigger fade than Denver in that spot. This Vikings team, or this Broncos team, has really benefited from turnovers over this three-game win streak. They've turned the ball over 10 times, or taken the ball away 10 times, only turned it over twice. That's not something that long-term is sustainable. And Dobbs has actually been pretty good with not turning the football over for Minnesota and Arizona when he's played those games. If the Vikings get the three, I think that's a definite play to fade this three-game winning streak for the Broncos. That's been really based on turnovers and not much else. The offense still not clicking as well as you'd like, and the defense has given up yards. They're just bending and not breaking. So if I can get the three with the Vikings, I'll take it. If not, I'm probably going to end up on the money line on Minnesota.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs has been the best story in football for me so far this year. Great primetime games all around this week. I really like all three. Mike, so appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
You got it, Stormy. Thanks, Michael. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you.
That is our guy, Mike Somich. Make sure you follow him on X at SamaBomb18, and you can find him every Saturday and Sunday right here on VSiN and DraftKings Network from 4 to 7 Pacific, 7 to 10 Eastern. We're going to step aside, take a quick break here on the Lombardi Line, but when we come back, different game or more of the same for these NFL units. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VEGAS, that's V-E-G-A-S. The crown is yours. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you, and there are a number of units this past week in the NFL, Michael, that either exceeded expectations, were really good. We want to see if that trajectory can continue, or kind of the flip side too, with a bunch of teams that kind of struggled in certain areas and wondering if that will continue. So different game or more of the same. Let's start with the Houston Texans, whose offense went off against the Cincinnati Bengals. Big win over Cincinnati, the 7.5-point dog. It was the C.J. Stroud and Devin Singletary show. 544 total yards. Stroud with 356 through the air. Singletary 150 of the 188 on the ground. 30 points on the board. 28 first downs. 3 of 5 in the red zone. Yes, there were some turnover troubles, but two games in a row, Michael, now where Stroud has marched the Texans down on a game-winning drive as well. So this week against the Arizona Cardinals, different game or more of the same from the Texans offense?
Well, unless you're Arthur Smith and decide to just run the ball and not throw it against the Cardinals, you got a good chance to get more of the same. And I think you will see more of the same. Like I wrote in my notes, like how doesn't Stroud have another great game? I mean, you know, the Cardinals are one of the worst teams on third down. They're 22nd in the red zone. You know, they can't really stop anybody. Their time, they can't pressure the passer. They're not able to cover very well. I think you're getting more of the same. I think it sets up perfectly for them because they'll be able to attack this Arizona defense and they can run their run game. Look, Arizona, you know, like they gave up a ton of yards last week on the ground. The problem was they couldn't throw the football. The Falcons wouldn't throw it. If they only threw for 70 yards last week. You know, you're not going to win a game. You can't score points throwing for 70 yards.
The Texans are laying 5 in this spot, Michael, and that's one area where they have struggled, being in the favorites role. We're used to looking at them as an underdog, right, and they've been exceeding expectations. 0-6 ATS, their last 6 games as a favorite, 0-3 this season in that role. How do you think that they handle with the 5-point number?
Well, I think that's going to be a hard thing, and I think it'll be, I mean, because when you look at Kyler Murray back now, they actually can move the football,
right?
They got Connor and Murray back. So, you know, Houston will stop you from running the football. They're the third best team in the league in stopping the run. They just have a hard time stopping the forward pass. And so I think that'll be a real issue. And without Perryman on the field, the inside linebacker, Denzel Perryman, who's been suspended for the helmet-to-helmet hits, that really affects their team speed defensively. For me, this game, it's 4.5 in the contest. The contest numbers just came up. You have 5. I think it's going to jockey between those two numbers. I think the Cardinals will keep this a close game only because I think Murray can make some plays, and McBride's played really well for the Cardinals.
Yeah, Kyler Murray in his first start coming off of the ACL, he was scrambling around, did not look hampered by that knee whatsoever. So I'm very interested to keep an eye on this Cardinals team moving forward the rest of the season, especially given the state of where they are at 2-8 this year and potential good opportunity for a high draft pick if they end up actually racking up some wins here, what that could do. So from one offense that had a lot of success last week in the Houston Texans to one that struggled, the Jacksonville Jaguars against the 49ers, Michael, in which a second quarter Brandon McManus field goal ended up being their only points on the day, 34-3 home loss. They had a 5 possession stretch where they fumbled, kicked the field goal, threw a pick, fumbled again, threw another pick. Trevor Lawrence, responsible for 3 of the team's 4 giveaways, was sacked 5 times. They were dominated at the line of scrimmage. There's more, but you get the picture. Against the Titans this week, different game or more of the same from Jacksonville's offense?
I think a little bit more of the same. I've said this last week why I like San Francisco so much is Lawrence hasn't played well. He has not played well at home this year for whatever reason, right? He just hasn't. He struggles. And he has struggled against the Titans. The Titans secondary should be wide. I mean, Baker Mayfield, by the third quarter, was able to make plays down the field. Once they were able to protect up front, they were really good. They should move the football effectively. I mean, the Jaguars. With Kirk, with Ridley, you know, healthy. If Zay Jones is able to play, I don't know. But with Evan Ingram, and then they have enough to really create some problems. And what you want to do in this game is get ahead, play from in front to force Will Levis, who's not played particularly well when you break down his numbers and you look at what he's been able to accomplish. So I think it's just going to be more of the same because that's what they do. The number's gone to 7. It stayed there. It's tempting, although I think we have to throw it out of our heads, Stormy, all the Mike Vrabel data as a dog, because now with Levis at quarterback, You know, he's in the same category of P.J. Walker and Zach Wilson, even Tommy DeVito to a degree, in terms of the success rate of throwing the ball.
Oh, man, don't do him like that. Don't Tommy DeVito him.
I can't help you. I can't. I mean, oh, I can't. I can only give you the numbers that I research. I mean, I looked it up on the success rate. You know, I'll do you one worse. You want one worse? I know this isn't on your script, and I don't want to not. I got it in my notes this morning. I said, I got to tell Storm.
What?
I said it on the pod today. Everybody's going to get mad at me. The Giants, okay, the Giants' three quarterbacks. Tyrod Taylor, 27th in EPA. That's expected points per play, okay? He's 27th. Danny Jones, 40th. Tommy DeVito, 42nd.
Woof. Woof, Michael.
Woof is right.
Gosh.
Woof.
I feel
Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof.
I feel bad for the Giants. This is going to be an uphill battle the rest of the way.
I got more for you on the Giants. I got more for you. You
what
say
else?
The Giants
keep it
are shouldn't. You said the Giants shouldn't be a 8 points. Okay. Stormy, in the first quarter, the Giants score, after 10 games, they score 0.9 points in the first quarter. But they gear it up in the second quarter where they score 3.3. They average.
Way to gear it up.
In the third quarter, they gear it up even more. They score 3.7. And in the fourth quarter, they're at their highest octane. They score 3.9.
They really gear it up. Okay, so Michael, different game or more of the same against the Washington Commanders of all teams? How they, this spread, I know you just said it, Lane, eight and a half right now. The Commanders of all teams.
8.5.
Woof.
All right.
Woof
so
again. I'm just woofing this
that.
Whole situation.
Right. This got to be the main game in the team. You got to enjoy this game. I wish this was on Thursday night. You know, hey, here's the thing that's great. The Giants got 250 yards passing from Tyrod Taylor before he got hurt in the last game, or if they won 14-7. And the Washington team was driving down the field. They couldn't score. This game, the last time they played them, there were 31 third downs in the game, excuse me. And they only converted, each team converted just combined six. The Washington team only converted one. The Giants converted 5 of the 30 of the total. So, you know, it wasn't like Washington moved the ball at all against the Giant defense, but the Giants secondary is beat up right now. And I don't know how much fight the Giants have left in them. I really don't.
Also, how bad must Matt Barkley be if Tommy DeVito is still getting a chance at starting here? Like, because that's the quarterback
Dayball
room.
Well, said Tommy DeVito... He gives us the best chance to win. I mean, if the Giants players in the locker room, when they hear that, they say, well, he doesn't give us any chance at all to win. They probably like the kid, but they don't get, how is he going to give you a chance to win?
That's the way the coaches love using that phrase this year in the NFL, don't they? Zach Wilson,
so bad.
Best chance to win. Does he? He's actually pretty good, Michael. I don't know if you heard. Let's hit up one more real quickly. Yeah. How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
All right, go ahead.
They just had a 20-6 win over that Tennessee Titans team we were talking about a little bit ago. An important bounce back after they allowed Houston to score 5 touchdowns and C.J. Stroud to set a rookie record. Fared much better against Will Levis, obviously. They on the ground, got him to the ground 4 times, picked him off twice, didn't allow he or anyone to get in the end zone. Different game or more of the same for this Bucs defense as they take on a stout 49ers offense?
I think it's a different game. It's a different game. It's harder for them. I don't think they can cover. They covered last week against Tennessee with Levis playing quarterback. I think that was misleading. I misjudged that. I thought Tennessee would move the ball in this Bucs secondary. I know the 49ers will.
Yeah, it's a big spread in this one, too. 49ers laying 12. The Bucs are riding a 3-game cover streak, though. Is 12 points too many?
You know, I mean, you're always worried about a backdoor here. You really do. But I that's the only thing I would be concerned about is the backdoor.
All right. And I will give the 49ers credit. 10-2 ATS at home since the start of last season and 4-1 in the role as a double digit favorite. So they have been able to have success in that role largely in recent history. OK, we're going to take a step aside when we come back, resetting for hour 2. We'll get back to Thursday night football. We finally got a fun one in the AFC North to preview, get into some prop betting opportunities and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Alongside former NFL General Manager Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonatoni. Excited to welcome in great friend of ours here at VSiN, Sean Merriman, three-time All-Pro linebacker, former Rookie of the Year, sacks leader in '06, also the founder of Lights Out Extreme Fighting, available on Fubo TV. And Sean, before we jump into all the great football topics that we have lined up for you, what should people know about the big event you guys have coming up this Saturday in Long Beach? And congrats as well on all your success in the MMA space.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I've been around this sport for 17 years, man. So, you know, to kind of run the show now with Lights Out Extreme Fighting has been fun. We got a huge fight coming up this Saturday in Long Beach. You can get your tickets at lightsoutxf.com. So if anybody in that Long Beach, SoCal area, you make sure you come to this. We'll also be live on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports, man. So you don't want to miss this one. As you guys see right there, Victor Roses and Puentes Jr., that one's going to be a banger. We got Alba Morales and Ramos. Alba Morales, former UFC guy. Ramos from Nick and Nate Diaz's camp. We have Tommy Aaron back on this card again as well. That's from Tony Ferguson's camp. I believe he'll be at the fight as well. So Jake Woodley, former D1 wrestler. I can't wait for people out there to see him. So get your tickets at lightsoutxf.com and watch us live on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports.
Now, that's awesome, Sean. Let's talk to you about your past team, the team that made you the number one pick. When you were great on defense, has it been hard watching this Charger defense recently? And what did you make of Staley's comments that he's not going to change what he's doing and he's going to keep calling the plays?
Yeah, you know, Michael, to be honest, I've been at every home game. You know, I'm still pretty close to the team, pretty close to the players. And I guess the most upsetting part of everything is you look at their roster and see what they have, and that's the most frustrating part of it, right? How can you not do well with a Derwin James, a Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Tooley, who's playing well? They got guys on defense, so you're scratching your head trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And to me, it just seems like they have a lot on their plate. They're not playing fast, right? They're coming up to the line of scrimmage. The plays are not ready. They're trying to audible, adjust on defense. The ball is high. Guys are not in position. And, you know, we've seen against the Jets, they what, 7 or 8 sacks. They can play when necessary, but they haven't been playing with passion. They haven't been playing fast. That's my biggest problem with these guys. It's not the players that they have. They have enough talent to get it done.
So who do you put that on then? Like, is it, I mean, Brandon Staley obviously is a defensive mind, and I know his seat was a little bit warm just coming into this season. A lot was going to be put on how they were going to perform. And when your offense is putting up 30 plus points in a game, you shouldn't be losing those games, right?
That's the biggest problem I have with what's going on. You have an offense that is more than capable of putting up 30 plus points a game. You know, as a former defensive player, we always said that, look, if we can hold anybody under 24 points, we should have an opportunity to win every single game. And that hasn't been the case with them. We understand the first game of the year when they played the Dolphins, okay, you're playing a high, high intensity, high explosive team that's going to put up points. We know that. We're going to give up some points there. When you play the Kansas City Chiefs, you're going to give up some points there. But you have the ability to beat the teams you should beat. The Lions had no business having over 500 yards in offense, had no business scoring over 40 points. That should never happen. Yes, the Lions are a good team, but they're not 40-plus points a game good. And so that falls on the defense. And if his coach is saying that we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, that's not a good sign for anybody. That's not encouraging. That doesn't make the fans, the players feel good if you're not going in and changing anything at all.
Hey, Sean, were you surprised that Staley came back after the meltdown in Jacksonville? That's A. And B, you've been around the Spanos family. Do you think that if he doesn't make the playoffs, it is over with for him there?
Yeah, well, the answer to your first question is I was surprised. But I understood them bring him back because you brought in Kellen Moore, right? So if everybody wants to point the finger at Lombardi, who's a former offensive coordinator there, fine. I think the front office did a great job in going and bringing an offensive coordinator in who can put up points. They've been doing that. Okay, now what's the issue? Right? There's no more excuses. There's no more finger pointing. You have a quarterback that has the most explosive, strongest arm in the NFL. You got a Keenan Allen. Mike Williams obviously went down for the year, but Everett, Eckler, you're stacked on offense, right? And they're getting it done. You got to now look, the defensive guys, and I'm not talking about just the players, the coaches at all. They got to go look in the mirror and find out who they want to be for the rest of the season. But I tell you this, they missed the playoffs. I can't see Staley coming back.
Here with three-time All-Pro linebacker Sean Merriman, and another one of your former teams is probably asking themselves a lot of those same questions in the Buffalo Bills, and we see them this past week let go of their offensive coordinator in Ken Dorsey. Do you think that could be maybe the wake-up call that this team needs, that things have to change, or how did you perceive that move this week?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And when those type of moves are being made, it starts from the top to the bottom, right? So you start the coach, okay, the coach is the problem. Let's move on from him. Then you start looking at the general manager, people who are putting guys in place. They look at him. If they're not the issue, now you got to start looking at Josh Allen and those turnovers, right? I think that we a lot of us keep turning a blind eye. Is he a great quarterback? Yes. Is he going to throw some interceptions here and there? Yes, because a lot of the greats did. Nobody complained when Brett Favre did it. Nobody complained when some of these other guys did it. Peyton Manning did it. They've all thrown interceptions. But you can't have a kind of a repeated situation when you have that kind of team. They're another team that should go out and show well against most teams. But when you turn the ball over two, three times a game, your chances of winning goes down. So they got rid of the offensive coordinator. Okay, it's going to start looking at the GM. Last but not least, I'm telling you what's coming next. They're going to start looking at Josh Allen at some point in time.
Yeah, but it's hard to find another Josh. You could find another Sean McDermott. You can't find another Josh Allen. That's the problem, Sean. And then the biggest issue is in the last three playoff games, they've given up over 33 points a game. You know, yeah, Allen turns the ball over. I get that. You can't do it. But at some point, you know, when you fire the coach, aren't you saying that there's nothing wrong with the defense too?
Yeah, and that just goes down to when you start looking at the hierarchy and who's the problem, right? So now they're going to start going through the entire roster, entire coaching staff, entire front office until we find a problem. And you're right, man, with that defense that they have, and you know Josh Allen's going to go out there and get it done, yeah, you got to get over as a defensive player. You know you got a quarterback that's going to turn the ball over some because he is a bit risky because – He has these plays. We extend the drives and make things happen. Those work out for the most part. So as a defensive player, you have to have the mentality to know going into each and every week, this is going to be the case. And we can't bend and break when those things happen. That's what's been happening over there. When those turnovers happen from Josh Allen, the defense aren't responding. And that's been a huge issue for them.
We got a fun one on Thursday Night Football coming up tonight with the Ravens and Bengals going head to head. And both of these teams obviously are coming off tough losses and trying to make their push down to see if they could be a playoff contender, a Super Bowl contender, even potentially. You have a feel for tonight's game and who might be able to get the better of who?
Yeah. I like the Bengals in this one. We talk about turnovers and I know that people want to stay away from him because I am a huge fan of his as well. Lamar Jackson, he's another one that's been turning the ball over. When he turns the ball over, they struggle winning football games. So they can't do that against the Bengals. I know the Bengals are coming off a loss, but they start to turn things around. And you can tell that Joe Burrow has gotten healthy. That was the biggest issue on early during the season. He wasn't stepping in the pass. He couldn't run around and plant that leg and push off of that calf. He got healthy again. I like the Bengals in this game.
Yeah. Well, tell us again, MMA, you got it down at Long Beach. Talk to us about where people can see these fights.
Yeah. If you're in the Long Beach area, the SoCal area in general, this Saturday, doors open at 3 p.m. Pacific. You can get your tickets at lightsoutxf.com and you will be live on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports. This is our biggest card yet. You know, last fight we sold out and we had 250 people outside. I felt bad, man. I had to have someone to relay the messages and the results of the fights to the people outside. So I encourage everybody to get your tickets this time at lightsoutxf.com.
Yeah, get them early. Get out there. I know that you've said in the past, too, that even in your playing days, you loved MMA. Great way to work on your hands. Like, you getting in there and sparring with anybody?
I do. Fortunately and unfortunately, because mentally I got to tell myself that I'm old, right? So I'm going in to stay in shape, and I let these young guns go out there and do it. So I'll do it to a point. I know my place, but I like to stay in it and stay in the mix.
You're the best, Sean. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day
to
do this,
Sean,
with us.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
That is Sean Merriman. And yes, make sure you go check out all of the action on Fubo TV. Lights Out Extreme Fighting, of course, a fun play on the dance that he became known for back in the day in the National Football League. But great stuff from him on two of his former teams that are struggling right now when they came into this year expected to be contenders. That, of course, being the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Chargers. We're going to take a step aside real quickly when we come back. VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, Mike Palm, is going to join us over the phone. Get Palm's pressing three big picture items for Michael Lombardi.